Early in life, there are many firsts. Our first friends, or perhaps our first love, or to say nothing of, that first car. But Delmarva Public Radio's George Merrill writes, it's when we look at them at the end of life's journey that they take on a whole different cast.
Many firsts of our lives stay with us a lifetime. It's not necessarily because they are spectacular, but simply because they are first. First loves leave indelible impressions. I recall two first loves. One was Elise, I was 10 maybe. The other was Barbara, with whom I fell in love in my adolescence. Perhaps Barbara was really a second, but I felt like it was a first. But I make too fine a point of this. In any case, I remembered both. That was around 70 years ago. There are other firsts, far less emotionally laden, but nonetheless have left me with an impression lasting my lifetime. My grandmother showed me how to burn through paper with a magnifying glass and sunlight. It was as if she sanctioned illicit behavior, making it all the more pleasing. It was fun burning holes in paper. There was another first, when a friend and I constructed telephones from strings and two tin cans. We punctured the cans at the bottom, fed the string through each hole, knotted both ends, and then walked far enough apart to draw the string taut. We talked about 2 minutes, and the string broke. We talked, it broke again. We repaired it and resumed our conversation several times. It may not have been uninterrupted service, but it was a first, and for a young boy in 1942, it was pure magic. But first in our lives may also be a last if we can believe Dr. Christopher Kerr, whom many heard recently speak here in Easton. His work in hospice with dying people led him to believe that the ideation of dying people may not be incoherent ideas and delusions, products of the dying's disintegrated consciousness. Dr. Kerr believes as the dying prepare to leave this world, they are making a purposeful spiritual return, a pilgrimage of sorts, returning to the rendezvous with those first people in their lives. For the dying, we normally think of the main task as saying goodbye. Kerr suggests another undertaking. It's reuniting with the first significant people of our lives and greeting them, and they too greeting us and welcoming. In the act of dying, we are both leaving and arriving. Dr. Kerr has witnessed enough of this kind of phenomena to find them credible. In one account, Dr. Kerr tells the story of Mary. She was near the end of her life, and her four children were also present. One day, Mary starts cradling a baby that nobody sees. She refers to him as Danny, a name no one recognizes. Mary's sister arrives from out of town and explains that Danny was Mary's first child who was stillborn. A loss so deep, she never spoke of it during her life. Kerr comments, "Yet, while dying, this indescribable loss returns her in some manner of warmth and tangible love. A dying patient's physical wounds that could not be cured, yet her spiritual wounds were being tended to. It's thrilling for me to consider that many of the firsts of my life I shall one day return to, but then I will see them in a new way. They will not be the people I lost, but the ones that I am finding again." George Merrill on the shore.